kind of.
So I'm just putting those out of the way so that I can kick them instead of drop them. So, how beautiful you all are. This is a really special day. Obviously, it's a very special day for Judith. But actually, as I was sat there listening to Judith and her testimony, I was just blown away again by the grace of God and the fact that each of our journeys looks different, tailor-made for each one of us. Now, I'm not going to explain baptism because Nick's already done that, but what we've seen today is an act of obedience in the working and an act of devotion and an act that makes no sense whatsoever when you look at it from the world's perspective. Quite a lot of you in here will have been baptized. I was baptized. When I got baptized, when I told my parents that I was getting baptized, my parents were, they would have said they were committed Church of England people. That meant we went at Christmas. Actually, in reality, it meant that we thought we went at Christmas, but normally we got there, we talked about it, and then we didn't go. But that's how my parents were raised. And they really didn't like the idea of me getting baptized because it was so strange. And they thought I'd become a member of a cult. So I got baptized. I invited them to see me get baptized. And in my mum's mind, it definitely confirmed that I'd got involved with a cult. And in my dad's mind, my dad said, if your mum hadn't been sat next to me, I would have put my hand up when they asked. And then 15 years later, Dad did make a response and he became a Christian. And I had the privilege of being there when he got baptized. But I'm not going to talk about baptism in particular. But it is strange. And I guess that's part of the story today. Some of the things that our devotion looks like are strange to people who don't believe. I want to read you a passage from the Bible about devotion. It's from Luke 7, for those of you who want to follow. Oh, look, and it's coming up there. Now, I've got a slightly different version, which I'm going to read from, because my eyesight's not that good. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. So Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat at the table. A sinful woman in the town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she brought an alabaster jar of perfume and stood behind Jesus at his feet, crying. She began to wash his feet with her tears, and she dried them with her hair, kissing them many, many times and rubbing them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who asked Jesus to come to his house saw this, he thought to himself, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know that the woman touching him is a sinner. Jesus said to the Pharisee, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon said, Teacher, tell me. Jesus said, two people owed money to the same banker. One owed 500 silver coins, and the other owed 50 silver coins. They had no money to pay what they owed, but the banker told both of them they did not have to pay him. Which person will love the banker more? Simon the Pharisee answered, I think it would be the one who owed him the most money. Jesus said to Simon, you're right. Then Jesus turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss of greeting, but she has been kissing my feet since I came in. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. I tell you that her many sins are forgiven, so she showed great love. But the person who is forgiven only a little will love only a little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The people sitting at the table began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, because you believed, you are saved from your sins. Go in peace. To me, this is a picture of devotion. This is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament, actually. This woman was willing to put herself in a very, very uncomfortable place in order to be in the presence of Jesus. She must have known what Simon the Pharisee would think of her. I'm sure she'd heard lots of whisperings, even in her community. I'm sure she knew what everyone thought of her. And she's putting herself in a place where there's a highly religious man. But she just has to be with Jesus. She could have stayed at home. She could have thought, oh, I can't go there. What will they think of me? I can't do that. What will they think of me? But she didn't. She chose to get into the presence of Jesus. And I, you know, as I was reading this, I've been really challenged reading it. I was challenged with the question, what will I do? Will I let what others think stop me from coming to Jesus? This woman weeps. And she doesn't just cry a little bit. She's a weeping mess. She just carries on weeping. Now, I don't know about you. I'm sure there's a diverse mix here. But I am a real crier. Okay, I cry at everything. My children will testify to this. We watch a film, that Josh will lean forward on the sofa. He says, are you there yet? No. Because I cry at everything. I cry at films, cry at books, cry at beautiful music, cry when I'm sad, cry when I'm happy, cry when I'm disappointed, cry when I'm angry because I'm trying to control myself and it comes out somewhere and it's through my eyes. I cry. But as much as I'm a crier and I know that's who I am, I still try to stop myself. And I don't know if any of you are in the same boat, but there's something in us that wants to stop ourselves crying in front of other people. Now, I think that's it's like somebody seeing something deep, isn't it? Maybe you don't want to share that. Sometimes it's the fear of people seeing me for what I am, seeing what's going on inside. Sometimes it's the fear that people will interpret that as something different to what's going on inside, actually. She weeps. And again, I'm struck by the question, am I more concerned about what other people will think of me than I am about what God will think of me? Because sometimes there are no words, there are just tears. And that's okay. This woman brings who she is to Jesus completely. I don't think we're very good with public displays of emotion, or even semi-public displays of emotion. And yet, our relationship with God is a relationship, and a relationship involves our emotions. And I'm asked again, am I more concerned about what people think than about being honest in my worship before God, about being honest about bringing who I am to him? This woman lets her hair down in front of Jesus. Now, lots of us wear our hair down, and lots of us wear it very short. But hair, letting your hair down in public and touching a man in public. That's a big deal in biblical times. What this woman is doing isn't just a little bit awks. Okay? This woman is being outrageous. What she's doing is incredibly uncomfortable for everyone there. This is an outrageous act of intimate worship. I can just imagine the other people at that table wriggling with embarrassment in their recliners because this is wrong. This is inappropriate behavior. And I'm asked by the Holy Spirit as I'm reading it, are you going to settle for the appropriate? Will you only bring me what's appropriate? Are you only going to give me what you think is appropriate or what other people will think is appropriate? When I got baptized, my parents thought that was highly inappropriate. But you know what? It was an act of obedience. I couldn't say no to Jesus. And I was determined to see it happen. it wasn't appropriate. But somehow, as life goes on, I can all too easily settle into giving financially just what's appropriate, into giving my time as appropriate, into giving of myself as is appropriate. I don't want to do that. I read this story and I'm blown away by this extravagant act of worship, a whole life invested. That's what we've seen Judith doing today. She's put her whole life in. That's what we want to be. We want to live there. I don't want it to be a one-time thing for me. I want to live there. She's let her hair down. She's got intimate with Jesus. She's unashamed in her worship of him. But her hair had a special significance back then. The hair was a woman's crowning glory. Something that was perhaps one of the most precious things of beauty. I don't know if any of you have read Little Women. Let's have a show of hands just for interest. Yay! Well, you might remember in that book, there's a number of girls, I forget how many, and in a family, and the dad is away and he's really ill and they don't have enough money to send the mum to him. So Jo, who's perhaps the feistiest of the lot, she decides she's going to do something about it. And she disappears off to the barber's, because they didn't really have hairdressers, but they did have barbers. She gets her hair completely chopped off and sells it for wig making so that she'll have enough money to give to her mum to send her to see their dad for what might be the last time. And in that beautiful way that sisters have, one of the sisters says, "Oh, Jo, your only beauty." She always makes me laugh. It's a thing of beauty, precious, and she was willing to invest it for something that was really important. It was an act of devotion in the book. This is an act of devotion. This is her most precious thing. And what's she doing? She's willing to get it dirty. Those feet will have been dirty and dusty. She's wiping what's most precious on Jesus' feet. She's saying, "Have it all. It's all yours." A few years ago, I decorated our living room. It took me 10 days. Andy was away in Kazakhstan. I decided, unfettered, I could move faster. So I did it. Some of you who know Andy will know that that is true. So I got down to decorating the living room. He's good at so many things, but not that. And I was really proud of that living room. And when he got back, we ordered carpet. And the carpet was beautiful when we were in the carpet shop. And when he got home, it was very pale. And in fact, it's cream. How did we land with that? That's not practical. We put the carpet down. We put the curtains up. Oh, my goodness. I was so proud of that room. Amazing. Consequently, I really look after that carpet. And I don't know anyone with shoes in there. However, that memo didn't get to one of my son's best friends. In fact, he didn't see the sign on the door. I've put a sign on the door. But it's still there. And he walked in and he'd just been playing football. He put mud all over that carpet, everywhere. It's like, how did you do that? Do you know what my reaction was? You all know me a little bit this morning. What do you think I did? I cried. Turns out that was the best reaction for the moment. He's never done it again. And he's been there a lot. He's very good at taking his shoes off. We protect what's precious to us. We keep it clean. We look after it. We don't get down near the ground and get it dirty. Our hair, her hair was precious. And she was willing to invest it. She was willing to sacrifice. People who are devoted to the Lord Jesus, they're willing to make big sacrifices. You can see it all the way through history. You see it all the way through the Bible. And I'm asked, when I look at it, are there things that I'm holding back? Are there things that are too precious to me, actually, to invest in my following of Jesus? Am I really willing to lay it all down? This woman pours out her wealth on Jesus. That alabaster jar of perfume There's another story where there's another woman with an alabaster jar and she breaks the jar. This isn't that story. In that story, it's the disciples who are saying, that's too much, that's too much. That's like us saying, that's too much. In this story, this woman pours out perfume. That shows probably what her occupation was. Because the people who had alabaster jars of perfume, they might have had some for anointing the dead for burial, but actually prostitutes generally used a lot of perfume oil so that they smelled good, so that they could tempt men into their boudoir. That fragrance would have stayed with them. Everyone around would have known who they were and what they did. That perfume represents her livelihood. It represents possibly the most expensive thing that she owns. It represents her past, her present, and her future. And she pours it out on Jesus' feet. In pouring it out, she's pouring out all she was. And she's pretty much saying, have everything that I was. And what does she get in return? Oh my goodness, what does she get in return? He doesn't speak to her till the end of this story, does he? But she receives forgiveness and peace. This unnamed woman worshipped Jesus unashamedly, wholeheartedly, unreservedly, and generously. And yet, there's her and there's another person who encounters Jesus in this story. Simon the Pharisee, who's religious. He's there. He has the same opportunity that she has. And he comes away with what? He doesn't give Jesus any water to wash in. He doesn't give him a kiss. There's no oil for his head. He shows him the bare minimum of hospitality. He's actually quite rude. You get the impression that Simon the Pharisee wants to discuss, but probably doesn't think he's got anything to learn or anything to receive. He sits back. He's almost like a watcher of the scene, isn't he? And he's critiquing the worship, because this is an act of worship that we've seen in this story. And he sat back and he's critiquing the worship. You know how some of us might on a Sunday morning sometimes? Me, when I get back to home and Andy's maybe been away, he'll come in and he'll go, how was the service this morning? If I tell him how the service went and it didn't go well, I know that I've sat back and I've critiqued it. Because if I didn't encounter Jesus, it's probably to do with my attitude going in. I can be in the same service as someone else, like Josh, for example. Josh will come back and go, oh, that was awesome. And I can come back and I can go, yeah, it was all right. Truth is, I probably spent some time thinking about what we were going to have for dinner that night. And I wasn't really engaged. And that is Simon in this story. He hasn't really engaged with Jesus. He's had the same opportunity, if not greater, actually, than this unnamed woman. And yet, he comes away so much poorer from the exchange. I've been really challenged reading this about my attitudes, about how much I'm willing to give, how devoted I am. My Jesus was willing to die naked, tortured, taunted on a cross for me. And yet too much of the time I'm more concerned about what other people think of me than responding to him, than worshipping him wholeheartedly, than telling other people about him. He's given me the life that I have today, and I am so grateful for it. And yet my life doesn't always reflect that. So I guess I have some questions for us. And we're going to have a little bit of silence. And these are some of the questions that I've been asking myself. If you're a Christian here already today, are you becoming more aware of his presence? Are you experiencing more of the glory of God's goodness? And if you're not, is that because your devotion lies elsewhere than him? Do you want to be more devoted to Jesus? And if you're not a Christian, then my question is, who do you want to be from this story? I guess it's the same question for both of us. Who do you want to be from this story? Do you want to be Simon, the Pharisee, who's there in the presence of Jesus but doesn't really seem to properly get it? He doesn't engage with him. Or do you want to be the woman who's unashamedly weeping at Jesus' feet and goes away forgiven with a gift of peace? We're going to spend some quiet time in the quiet. I'm going to sit down. Maybe we'll close our eyes and just think on those for a moment.
Lord, we thank you for speaking to us. Now, my prayer is all around the room now. We've been making decisions based on what we've just heard. But we thank you. You are worthy. You are worthy of our all, not just a part. We thank you again for your magnificent sacrifice on the cross for us. Holy Spirit, help us to respond to you. Help us to understand again this morning just who our Jesus is and how wonderful he is. As we sing this next worship song that Dan leads us in, as we sing, can we still keep considering those questions that was posed to us to think about for a few moments? Let's sing together. Dan.
Thank you.